Amen. I would like to, this morning, just for a little bit, if I cannot be too long-winded, I would like to go back to what we discussed last night. I looked over my notes, and there was a few things that I would like to add to that. Remember, at the end of the session, we were talking about, you know, what does it look like to be a soldier for Jesus Christ in 2024? And I really enjoyed your thoughts, and I want to give you, towards the end of the session, time to share what's on your mind as well, again this morning. As a soldier for our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, did you know that your facial expression is going to be different? It is. It's going to be remarkably different. When you're walking in the doors of Walmart, and somebody looks at your face, they are going to see something. They're going to feel drawn to you. Sometimes in the time that we live, it's actually hard to make eye contact with people. Have you noticed that? People are fairly downcast. They're not very quick to smile at you. But my wife is an expert at this. She's very friendly, and people just open up to her. But you know, I've already stood back and noticed, and, you know, they're drawn to a face that has peace. Everybody in this world longs for peace. And we're not talking about world peace here, because we know that's never going to happen, right? We're talking about peace that's in our hearts. And peace is something that everybody desires, and by your facial expression, the expression of the peace within your heart, that is a huge drawing to Jesus Christ. Along with that, okay, I understand we all have a church culture, but never do we want to draw people to the culture that we've established. That's not what we're trying to do. We are trying to draw people to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will develop a godly culture in their hearts. We don't need to do that. The other thing is, I love this verse, Philippians 4:5. Don't think I'll read it. I won't turn to it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation is something that a soldier for Jesus Christ is going to have. And there's a few different definitions of moderation. But one thing I want to key in on this morning is your emotions. So when somebody does something that makes you angry, okay, it happens. Even if you're a soldier of Jesus Christ, because we're living in this world and we're not perfect. Sometimes we get angry, right? But a soldier of Jesus Christ actually can moderate that. Do you know that? He doesn't fly off the handle and say words that are hurtful. He's able to moderate it. And that's a huge difference between a soldier of Jesus Christ and somebody who's serving the devil. Because they do not have that restraint. And then there's also moderation where, you know, we're moderate in what we do. And we might touch on that a little bit later, depending how the morning goes. A little bit of a side note before we get into Romans. I'd like to read to you from Ecclesiastes, directly to young people. My wife pointed this verse out to me a few days ago. And I think it's important. This is in NLT version, first of all. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 and 10. Young people, talking directly to you. It's wonderful to be young. It is. It's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Okay? Enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy life. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. When I read that first, I thought, oh, just a minute here. But hey, Think about it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. Give an account to God for everything you do. Then we can be okay with that phrase. Do everything you want to do. Honestly, God does want us to enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy creation. But everything we do, we have to remember, we have to give account to God for. And that brings me right away to what Jake shared in devotions, I believe was the first evening, about somebody follows you. Remember that somebody is following you, and when you're enjoying life, that you want to make sure that whatever you're doing is a good example to those who are following you. You know, the interesting part about doing everything you want to do, when you are born again and you mature in working for your chief and commander, Jesus Christ, do you know how much the things you want to do change? It changes. It changes tremendously. Because you're not serving yourself anymore. You're serving Him. And the things you want to do change. What would it be like to be addicted to winning souls for Jesus? You know, in this world, we hear about addictions all the time where people can't stop doing what they're doing, even if it's harmful to your bodies. But think about being addicted about serving Jesus Christ. You can't stop serving Him. I think that happens to us. Our desires change. Yes, they do, when we are born again. Okay, turn your Bibles to Romans 12 this morning. Romans 12. There is so much to speak about. I'm going to miss speaking to your faces, to your hearts this morning. Right, there's so many things I want to say, and I know I'm going to run out of time. Let's begin with verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You're serving your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. And He's given you the body that you live in as a tool to serve Him. Right? He's given you young people the energy that you have and the vision to serve Him. I was talking with Kevin the other day on the porch here, and we kind of laughed about, you know, when does it happen that we turn into old men dreaming dreams, and it's you that has the vision. Right? And I don't know when that happens, but anyhow, I think I still have vision. But God has given you the energy. God has given you the enthusiasm to serve Him. And that comes with a young body, right? That's part of it. And don't ever be ashamed of that. And don't ever be ashamed of the enthusiasm that you have, because us older people need that. It livens us up. And you want your body to be a living sacrifice. You want your body to be something that you are happy and proud to present to God as a tool for Him to use. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's so many things that you could become involved in that can destroy your body. That's not good for you. And I'm not trying to go down a health craze here by any means. But remember that at this time, in this period, when you're living on this earth, Jesus Christ lives within you. You're a temple for Him. And you want to have a body. You want to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then it goes on to verse 2. And this is so deep, I don't know what it all means myself. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Let's talk first about transformation a little bit. Somebody, what's the definition of transformation? Transformation. Changed. Yes. Anybody else want to add to that? Yes, from dark to light. Change from dark to light. I like that. And transformation would have the connotation of another source of power that does the changing, right? So transformation is not something that you can decide to do. Okay, today I'm going to be transformed. But there, it takes power for that transformation to take place. And that power comes from who? Our commander in chief, Jesus Christ. That's who's going to transform you. So at the beginning of the verse, it says, be not conformed to this world. That's true. That's right. It's good. I don't understand what that all means. I'm learning. But not being conformed to this world is actually not enough. You have to be transformed. So you can do all the right things. And it doesn't say it here, but I don't think I'm taking the scripture out of context. You can even conform yourself to a church instead of to the world, or to a church culture and instead of to the world, and you're still not transformed. You're still not transformed. You still aren't going to have that peace, that shining out of your face, because you're doing it all from within. You're using your own strength, maybe your own will, to conform yourself to a church, or to not conform yourself to the world. Who's the world? What's the world? Do you have any answers? What is the world? In this scripture in Romans, be not conformed to the world. What is it? Yes, the devil's kingdom. Very good answer. Probably the answer. Does anybody else have something else to share there? Okay. The devil's kingdom is the world. The first night we talked about the war between Russia and Ukraine. And we talked about how that they have their own commander in chiefs. We talked about how that the soldiers fight for the country that they're born in. And how much do you think that a Ukrainian soldier and a Russian soldier have to do with each other? Like, after their day of battle is over, do you think they go drinking together? No. If they have some free time, do you think they gather together for a game of volleyball? No. What does this mean? Like how we say that being conformed, or sorry, we say that the world is the devil's kingdom, but yet we live here in the world. Right? We do. We can't get away from it. Sometimes we get all caught up. Christians do. We get all caught up in politics. We're all worried who is going to be elected prime minister, or maybe more so, who's going to be elected president in the U.S. And, you know, we get all caught up in this, and we worry about it. And, well, if depending who's elected, you know, they're going to promote abortion, or depending who's elected, he's against abortion, so we should vote for him. Young people, I'm here to tell you it doesn't matter. I know it's interesting. I follow it. Ask my wife. I do sometimes. But it really doesn't matter. In the whole scheme of things, it makes no difference. The Bible is very clear that the world is going to wax worse and worse. It doesn't matter who's elected. It doesn't matter who's in power. But for you, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, it's not your kingdom. You don't have to worry about it. Not at all. Don't ever fall into the trap that you think that Christians need to become involved in politics to direct our countries, to keep them from going downhill so fast. That's not our job. We're not part of this kingdom. We're part of a kingdom that is outside of this world. And Jesus Christ is our commander in chief, said clearly that his servants won't fight. Why? Because they're not part of this kingdom. I think all these things are things how we're not conformed to this world. What about the time that we spend? What about the time, you know, a soldier that is truly involved and truly fighting, he doesn't spend a lot of time other than preparing for battle, other than planning for battle, maybe practicing, maybe going to learn different battle techniques. That's where his time is used up. And when you look at a soldier that is serving the devil's kingdom, and just look around you, they're very caught up in themselves. They're very caught up in pleasure seeking. They're very caught up in doing things that they want to do. In fact, they get out of sorts if they don't get what they want. But for you, it's different because you, when you were born again, you actually are changed from within. And you actually, you're not going to be like that anymore. You're not going to be out there just serving self. And you're so much more effective in the battle when you have a one mind. When your mind is pointed towards your commander in chief and you're waiting for his next message to you. The other thing is being an individual. And I was so blessed how Kevin, this morning, he pulled everybody up here. He said, we're all part of this, sending the three to Manitoba. We're all part of it. It's not an individual effort. We're all together. And that's one thing that you will see in the world, in the devil's kingdom, is that people are self-centered enough that they always want to be recognized. We talked about that a little bit last night. But they want the recognition. It's all about me. For you, being born again young people, it's all about your commander in chief. So you're united together. That's why you could all come up together and you were all part. Even though only three of you are going to Manitoba, you're all part of it. I was so blessed with that. 1 Peter 1:14 is kind of a companion verse to Romans 12:2, and we won't turn to that, but it talks about fashioning ourselves after the world. Rather than using the word conform, it uses the word fashion. And I think it's something that we need to look at very closely on a personal level. It's sometimes so easy when we talk about these things, look at each other. But if we all actually look at it at a personal level, and what is it that I think about when I wake up in the morning? What's the first thing I think about? Is it my commander in chief? Or is it, you put it, what is it? I think all those things are a gauge of how well we're doing not being conformed to this world. You know the desires of your heart. And even as young people, your dreams. I asked somebody at the campfire last night, what are your dreams for your life? And you know, we kind of laughed together, well, where do we start, right? It's okay to have dreams, and it's right and good to have dreams. But always include your commander-in-chief. Include your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, and he'll direct those dreams, and he'll guide you through them. Verse 3 in Romans 12 talks about not thinking too highly of each other, of ourselves, but rather actually preferring one another. And I was blessed this weekend. I observed, I did a lot of observing, and I saw a lot of may I just say politeness? And I appreciate that very much. You're observing it. You're actually wanting each other to be first. It's a natural thing that happens when you're born again, because you're not thinking about yourself. In verse, I think I'll jump to verse 9 right now. There's so much in this chapter. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave that which is good. Our commander-in-chief is motivated by love. And you also need to be motivated by love. The love that you pour out to others has to be it has to be pure. It has to be a deep love that is a love for the person's soul, for who they truly are. And you know, when you allow personalities, you know, there's people you get along with better than others. We admit that and we accept that. But that should not affect your love for that person. Right? It has to. Jesus Christ loved us just as we are. Right? And that he wants us to love in that same pure way that we love in spite of. Yes, sometimes someone in your youth group, one of your friends, might do something that's very unsavory. Or might do something that just bugs you, it peeves you. But if you can see past that and love who they are, you'll be blessed. And they will feel it. They will feel that acceptance and love. Just like you feel the love from your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. Verse 10 talks about, you know, being kindly affectionate one toward another. With brotherly love. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saint. Have you ever considered what a blessing that is? In our work in Stratford, so often I just marvel how alone people are. As soon as something happens that they can't handle financially, the only recourse that they have is social services. And that's a long process, and we won't get into all that. But for us, we have each other. We have the saints who look out for us. And we see that working out in many different ways. And I'm sure even within your congregation, there's many ways where people share with what God has blessed them financially. He talks here in Romans 2 about not being slothful in business. And I think that's very true. As a Christian, we will be careful with our businesses. But not too careful. Not too careful. I think in our culture, we have maybe overemphasized that a little bit. And maybe we spend too much time in our businesses. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. We don't need to worry about revenge. We don't need to worry about when somebody does something to us or to somebody else that they need to pay for that. God just takes care of that. We can just rest in peace. We can just rest in peace. We just go help pick up the pieces, help point people to where they heal, and God takes care of the rest. That's not how the world does it. They have to make sure that someone's taken to court so that they pay for what they did, so that they're punished, and then they can forgive after they've punished. No, that's not what it's like to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. I love verse 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Who's your enemy? Who is your enemy? I don't know if someone wants to share or not. It could be pretty personal, but think about it. The person that is your enemy that is actually causing you problems, that is the thorn in your flesh, do something good for them. Do something good for them. Start with praying for them. Start with praying for them and asking God to give you love for them. And oh, we have a lady that attends church right now, and she, I won't go into the story, but the problem that she has with her neighbors, it is so childish. If she would only just forgive, and the person who's bugging her, if she just only extend forgiveness to them, I think the whole problem will go away. But no, they have to pay for everything. They have to, everything. So selfish, so soul-centered about yourself. For a Christian, you just let that roll off your back, and you show love, and you actually maybe cook a meal for that neighbor, drop off flowers, whatever, coals of fire, direct, point people directly to Jesus Christ. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Right? Overcome evil with good. I told you earlier, and you know this, the battle's already won. Good is going to win. So let's leave good. Let's use good to fight evil. And that comes right down into our personal lives. That comes down into a marriage relationship. That comes down into a relationship with your children. That comes down to your relationship with your church, your youth group. And I by no means feel you need to hear this. I truly believe you are doing this, but just as a reminder. Hey, I would like to just open up a little bit now to, if there's anything that a question someone would like to ask, or something that someone would like to share. I have some more to say this morning, but I'd like to do this now. Yes, Ben. Okay, very good question. How do we explain transformation? Is it something that happens and is complete when you are born again? I'm going to look to you first for an answer. Excellent question. Somebody want to share? Maybe I should ask it this way. Ben, has it been complete in your life? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it's so true. It's not. Transformation is, I often think of it as a learning experience. You know, we are transformed fully in the sense that God accepts us completely, right? When you're born again, the work of transformation has begun, that God accepts you completely, like without a doubt. But as we live lives, God brings things into our lives that are a real challenge, aren't they? Almost sometimes are too much for us to handle. And God gives the grace. And God actually gives grace to do that work of transformation in your heart, to continue that work of transformation. Anybody else have something to say on that? Maybe Kevin or Willis, one of you have more to say on that about transformation.
I think of a transformer as accelerated power.
Yes.
It's really taking a raw source and transferring it into something that is much more powerful. And I think of transformation as that, like in the scriptures, where as we continue to allow the source of life to flourish in our hearts, transforming us, renewing our mind, it's transforming us into something new and greater and bigger and more powerful. Mm-hmm.
It's because of our connection with the power, who is our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ. I took a picture of a plaque on a wall, and I don't know if I can find it or not. Probably not finding it right away, so I probably shouldn't. But it's in the bathroom at my sister Martha's place, who lost her husband, Roger. And I wish I could find it to read it to you. But the idea there was to actually accept what God has brought into your life. to accept it just like it is and believe that that's what God has planned for you. And to believe that Jesus actually loves you and he cares enough for you and he equips you with whatever you need to face what God brings into your life. And he will transform you so you can handle whatever you're facing. He will. And that's his word. And I believe it. And I'm sure you have experienced it. Okay. Anything else that you would like to talk about or ask a question or share? Okay. Did you all hear the question? You know, we talked about, you know, being involved in professional sports, you know, going to baseball games, hockey games, and I was blessed. We were very much in agreement that's, you know, we don't want to be there cheering on the idols of this world, right? So how does that fit in when you used to spend a fair bit of time playing volleyball? How does that fit in? Like, instead of playing that volleyball, shouldn't you be out there witnessing? Shouldn't you be maybe going door to door to campers? All right, I'm going to ask for input from you as well. First of all, what do you think about that?
I just also think of the picture of soldiers at their work together. When they're not in battle, they spend time with each other.
Okay, I appreciate that. Ecclesiastes said, the verse I read this morning, that to enjoy life, to enjoy your youth. Did any one of you feel guilty playing with your fellow soldiers playing volleyball? You know, did you ever think about this, that there might be somebody that played volleyball that doesn't have a strong faith? Maybe has a faith and it's just beginning to grow. And the interaction that you as youth have together on the physical things, the volleyball game, can have a tremendous impact on a young person or an unbeliever or someone who's new in the faith to grow. Yes, with good attitude. but maybe in your volleyball games you can actually think of somebody that you can bring in to play volleyball with you who wouldn't come to church, who wouldn't come to the meeting, but would love to play volleyball with you. I think there's all kinds of different ways that we can reach out. The other thing I comes to my mind is a moderation part. You know, do you as youth need, whenever you get together, do you have to play volleyball? Do you have to play hockey? Or else you don't feel you had a good youth activity? Or can you sit together and encourage each other, have Bible studies, and, you know, all those things? Because it won't take very long if your youth activities evolve around sports. It won't take very long, and you are going to start feeling yourselves pulling apart. You're going to start feeling yourselves not loving each other. You're going to start feeling yourself playing with a bad attitude. It's going to happen very quickly. And it's okay. When you feel that happening, you can do something about it. So, yeah. The other thing I thought of as we were talking here is, are we playing because we want to be recognized? That's another thing, right? Anything else? I love this. I don't really want to shut it down. I love hearing from you. Okay. Excellent question. How does lukewarmness fit into being a soldier for the heavenly kingdom and having as our commander Jesus Christ? How does lukewarmness fit into that? It doesn't. I had this in my notes to talk about and I decided not to, but Ben, you brought it up. So, the word Christianity has become it's a term that is so broad that it's actually lost its meaning. Do you know that? It's lost its meaning. And I'm not saying this in a, please don't, I'm not trying to say this in a judgmental way, but a large percentage of churches who call themselves Christians are not Christians. That is just what the conclusion I've come to. And I think it's because of that so often we think it's okay to be lukewarm. It's okay to be kind of on the fence and kind of, you know, not fully serving Jesus Christ. Like you said, we want the security of it. And what happens then is that Christians stand up and talk and actually are okay with sin. It doesn't work. Our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, is so jealous. He wants all of us, or we're really not his soldier. Yes, we need to grow. We need to be transformed. We're not perfect, but our hearts need to be drawn to him, and that we're open to his guidance in our lives, whether we like what he says or not. I remember as a young person, where I worked, and this man had at one time went to our church, and we drove back and forth to work together. So we talked a lot, and the direction he was going was different than what my family's was. I think I had potential to go that way, but I thank God I didn't. And he told me one time, he said, Cliff, he said, he was newly married, and his wife together decided that it was not necessary to wear a veiling anymore. And he told me, I can remember he telling me, and he was passionate about this. He said, Cliff, just pray to God and ask him for direction of whether the veiling is really necessary in 2024. And he was serious. Like he was actually serious, and it actually shook me up. And he said, God has just simply told them that it's not necessary. And it kind of shook me up. He had all the right words. And in some ways, he was more passionate than what I was used to in the church we were a part of. Okay? So it was... So, how does that work? Can you tell me how that works? How can that be? How can God speak to somebody about something that he's seen fit to have in the Bible and say that it's not necessary? How does that work? What do you think? Okay, I like that answer. If the Spirit does not align with the Word of God, it's not the Word of God. Thank you. Anybody else? Deception. And who is the author of deception? The devil is. And I know it's hard for us to talk this plainly about that, but that is a conclusion that I think young people, we have to come to. Is we just, let's just take the Word of God and let's literally live it out. How it says it, we can't go wrong. We will never go wrong. Do you think about that? No matter what Christianity is saying around us, if we live out the Word of God, literally, we won't go wrong. I think sometimes the devil brings questions into our minds that we ask that we should never even be asking, right? God has, and this is, God understands our struggles. He does. He understands our questions. And I by no means meant this morning to make somebody feel guilty if you question things and you study about things. I want you to do that. Do that. But remember that the Word of God is truth. Okay, anybody else? If not, I have a few more things here. Do you remember, and I'm not sure what evening it was, I talked just a little bit about a soldier, whether he's offensive or defensive. I really want to challenge you young people everyone, myself, this morning, that when we look at the work that Jesus Christ has given us to do, when we look at when Jesus sent out his disciples and the 72 out to into the cities, the villages, was that offensive or was it defensive? It was offensive, wasn't it? It was very offensive. They went out and Jesus actually warned them that they're not going to be accepted. Some of the towns they go to, they won't be accepted because the people aren't going to like you. Right? It was offensive. When you think of the apostles, when you think of Paul in his ministry, was it offensive or was it defensive? It was offensive. Never fall in the trap that you think that the way you dress is enough of a witness to those around you. If they're interested, they're going to ask questions. That I actually believe that's a trap of the devil to keep you from preaching the Word of God, from sharing the Word of God. If you're a soldier for Jesus Christ, I believe you are going to become offensive. And I say become offensive because there is a time when you're a babe in Christ that you are going to be very defensive. You're learning and you're learning the Word of God and Jesus is teaching you many lessons. But as you mature, at some point, you need to become offensive in your witnessing. So what does that look like in 2024? We often talk about, well, we can't reach anybody unless we build a relationship with them first. Right? And there's truth to that. There is truth to that. But there's also times when you are going to be asked by your commander-in-chief to speak to a stranger. And do it. May I suggest this? If the thought enters your mind that you should speak about Jesus Christ to somebody, don't second guess it. Just do it. Do it that quick. Because if you second guess it, then you're going to say to yourself, where did that come from? Did that come from God? Or like, why did that thought come into my mind? No, it came from God. It came from your commander-in-chief. Just do it. I'm learning that, right? Because God, we know without a fact that the devil's not going to put that thought into your mind. He doesn't want the lost souls to hear anything about Jesus Christ, right? So when you have that thought, it's Jesus. It's your commander-in-chief speaking to you. Just do it. And that's for a lot of different ways. There's times that the thought comes to you maybe within your own church that, you know, I should maybe send flowers or give flowers to this sister. Just do it, right? You know that that's from your commander-in-chief. Turn with me to John 17. I love this chapter. And I want to use this chapter as a closing for our time together here. John 17. And let's look first at verse 9. First of all, probably in most of your Bibles, the letters are in red. John 17. Not all Bibles, but most of your Bibles, the letters are in red. And I personally love a Bible that has the words that Jesus Christ said, our commander-in-chief, in red. It kind of jumps out at me when I read it and says, hey, remember, Cliff, remember. These are the words of Jesus Christ, like the literal words of Jesus Christ. So John 17 is, my Bible entitled it as Jesus prays for his own. So who are his own? His soldiers. That's who his own are. So think about this as Jesus Christ praying for you. Let's look first at verse 11. Actually, verse 9, sorry. I pray for them The them there is you. If you have been born again and you've been changed your citizenship to a citizenship that's heavenly. So that means you're no longer a citizen of this world. It says, I pray for them. So he's praying for you. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. This is specifically Jesus Christ praying for his own, praying for us. And let's go down to verse 15 now. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Why would Jesus Christ, our Commander-in-Chief, not pray that God would take us out of this evil world? But he asks if God would keep us from evil, but he wants us here. Why is that? Why does he want us here? That's right, we're called to be lights. He has work for us to do, right? So he's praying that as we go about living our lives and doing his work, that he would keep us from evil, that we will be kept from evil. There's evil. We know that. Verse 16, it says, we're not part of the world. He knows that we've changed our citizenship. He knows that we're now a soldier for him. We're a soldier for the heavenly kingdom. They're not part of the world. Just like I'm not part of the world, he's saying. Then he asked God to sanctify us. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if we want to be sanctified, what do? We pick up the word of God, right? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Young people, you have a personal calling here from your Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ. We know how God sent his Son into the world so that we could be saved. He has sent you into the world. He sent you into this evil world to share the gospel, to preach repentance, to heal the sick, to heal the hurting. He sent you into the world. Jesus prays for us. And then I love verse 22. Neither pray I for these alone. So he's not just praying for us, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus is praying into the future here so that Joel, the man or the person that you talk to who gives their heart to the Lord, Jesus is praying for them too. That's who our Commander-in-Chief is. Just all motivated in love. Jesus, our Commander-in-Chief, knows how powerful the other kingdom is, how deceptive. He understands that and he personally prays for us. And I just love that. It almost gives me shivers to think of that. It's so beautiful. And I just want to give that to you this morning as an encouragement that when you are out there and you're thinking about and you're wanting to be offensive in your witnessing, don't worry about it. Just do it. Jesus Christ has prayed for you in that. For myself, that often the reason that I don't speak for my Commander-in-Chief's name is because I'm worried what people will think. That's usually when you think about it, what it really comes down to, because I'm worried about what people will think, right? And there can be a lot of different aspects of that. Number one, why am I worried about what somebody thinks if they're not part of my kingdom? Why does it matter? It doesn't matter. Just be bold and speak for him. Sometimes we worry about what our peers will think if we step out and speak for Jesus in a radical way. In a setting like this, you know what I've discovered? that it only empowers. When one person, when one of you speak for Jesus, it empowers everybody else. And it's really the power of positive peer pressure. And I just encourage you to step out as a youth group and even do activities that train you, if that makes sense to you. I think there's a lot of different things that we can do to give ourselves the boldness that is talked about in the New Testament in proclaiming Jesus Christ. I'm going to miss speaking to your faces. It's been a real blessing. I've been so encouraged and blessed. And encouraged that there's a group of young people who are soldiers for Jesus Christ, who are fighting these battles. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this weekend. I pray, God, for each soul that's here, including myself. God, that we could grasp the work that you have for us. That we could grasp that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Father, that we would not be ashamed to take the word of God and to preach it just like it is in the Bible. God, that we would not be ashamed of your name, but rather that we'll be quick to voice your name as our commander in chief. That we would just embrace you, God, in a way that it just changes our life. That it's not even close to what it was like before we knew you. God, I just bless the youth group as a whole here. I pray that you would do a tremendous work. I pray, God, and I feel, Lord, that there is going that you're going to do a work. I believe, God, Lord, that these soldiers here are going to become offensive, and I thank you for that. Pray, God, for the church leaders that are here as well, the youth group leaders. I just pray, God, that you would give them direction and guidance as they bless the work that there is to do here for these youth. Pray this in Jesus' name, and we honor and glory our commander in chief, Jesus Christ. Amen.